It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Well, what a wonderful life it is to be living for the Lord. As we look into the book of Romans today, we're going to discover that Paul is telling us here in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 17, that there is freedom from the power of sin. Now, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be a bed of roses for us as saved people. And you see, as long as we're in this world, we will have trouble. Remember, Jesus himself was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And we read of that in the New Testament. Well, this, the temptations that come into our lives cause problems. Of course, when we are tempted, those problems cause us problems. And we are led away of our own lusts. And this is being led by the flesh. But see, Paul wants us to see something today, and the Lord wants us to see it in the book of Romans chapter 8. Well, as we continue our study today, I want to pick up with verse 5 and go through verse 8. And it seems that Paul and the Lord wants us to know that there is freedom from the power of sin. Starting with verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Well, I believe what Paul is trying to tell us here is that for those who set their minds on things of the Spirit and not on the flesh, in other words, pleasing God, we are to set our minds upon the things of God. We are not to give ourselves to the flesh or give in to the fleshly desires of this life. Well, it happens. But the reason, and we want to understand that we get saved and we are saved to put forth the effort through the Spirit of not pleasing the flesh, but pleasing God. That's one of the reasons that we get saved. We want to please God. Well, if we keep in mind that we are to be pleasing to God and not to our flesh, then that spurs us along and helps us to understand that we need to have freedom from the power of sin. In other words, let the Spirit of God dwell in us, and He does dwell in us, of course, and that is for those who have trusted Him as Savior. And as we look into these next three verses, we'll see this, and it says there, starting with verse 9 of Romans chapter 8, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." In other words, we're not carnal. We're new people. We're a new person. We're not to be carnal, but in the Spirit. We're not to walk as the flesh controls us. And it goes on to say, "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken," in other words, make alive, "your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. For those who have the indwelling Spirit," Paul's saying that this is freedom from the power of sin. This is how we have the freedom. This is how we get the victory. It's by the Holy Spirit. And it says, "If any man has not the Spirit, he's none of Christ." Of course, in other words, not saved. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and nobody can be saved and not have the Spirit. Nobody is saved apart from having the Spirit of the Lord. When you get saved, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you are saved. Some people will teach you that you have to do a certain thing, and then you pray to get the Spirit. But what you do is you pray to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You pray to get saved. The moment that you ask Jesus to come into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, according to the book. that we're reading, and that book is God's holy word, that is, the Bible. Once again, it talks about the indwelling spirit here in verses 9 through 11 of Romans chapter 8. Well, notice with me, if you would, verses 12 and 13. Well, he's saying now, because of what we've just read in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, he says, starting with verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." He says there is freedom from the power of sin to those who, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. Now, once again, we're going to have problems in this life, but we are to strive not to be saved, but because we are saved. We are to strive to do the things of the Spirit of the Lord. Let the Spirit of the Lord take control of our bodies, in other words. Well, Paul goes on to say there is freedom from the power of sin to those who are the children of God and joint heirs with Christ. Well, he tells us this in verses 14 through 17. Paul says, starting in verse 14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Now notice it talks about to be glorified together. And we could say, be glorified together with him. That's God, that's Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible is not teaching here that we suffer in order to go to heaven. We are not made joint heirs with Christ by suffering, but that suffering will take place for the most part and many times in our lives as Christians because, just as he suffered, we will suffer, but not to the extent that he did. He suffered the death on the cross. He shed his blood for you and me, and he suffered more than any person has ever suffered in this world. And that is for a fact that no one else will ever suffer like that. He suffered the death of the cross that you and I could be set free. Well, not only set free to go to heaven, but set free from the power of sin. One day, thank God, we'll be set free completely from that power. As long as we're in the flesh, there is a warfare going on. And what Paul is telling us in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, he says, here is that freedom from the power of sin, those who are the children of God and joint heirs with Christ. It is possible, he's saying. Now let us look at verse 18. Well, the Bible is teaching us here. Now notice what it says. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Well, the present sufferings that Paul, God, now God is the author of the book. He uses Paul as a penman. But Paul seems to be saying it can't compare with the future glory that we're going to have once our bodies have been changed and we go to be with the Lord. We can't even imagine how great that's going to be. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." The whole creation waits enthusiastically for the unveiling of the children of God. When that takes place, the whole creation is going to be set free. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." We're going to be changed. These foul bodies are going to put on an incorruption just like our Lord. All creation is eagerly awaiting the revealing and glorious liberty of the children of God. That's what the whole creation is waiting on. And not only will the children of God be delivered from the slavery of the rotting earth, the putrefaction of sin, but everything created will be delivered, will be set free. Well, now notice with me as we look at verse 20. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Well, the creation was unnaturally forced to be ruled by everything that is worthless. In other words, everything that is vanity is worthless. Vanity, this means emptiness, frustration, disappointment. The creation, nature, became subject to vanity after man's fall into sin when God cursed the earth. The whole universe felt the effects of Adam's sin. Well, notice it says, not willingly in verse 20. The whole creation unwillingly is made subject to vanity. The world of nature did not choose to be under the curse. The animals did not hold a convention and all decide that they would voluntarily place themselves under a divine curse. It was Adam who made the choice and God who brought the curse. He let it happen. Now notice, in that verse it says, but by reason of him. And that word him refers to God who pronounced the curse and also gave hope. We see that hope comes through Jesus Christ. Even our nature has been brought to this state of vanity. Although this has happened and brought this state of vanity, there is hope. There is an expectation. The future brings a promise of hope. And thank God, in verse 21 it says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Thank God. The curse will not last forever, according to that verse. The whole creation, according to verse 22, is groaning right now. For we know that the whole creation groaneth, it says, and travaileth in pain together until now. The whole creation, everything groans. There is a deep moan. It's travailing, laboring, as if being in pain and suffering. It is now, even now, in labor. The teaching of the Scripture is that creation is at present in a state of captivity, waiting to be loosed from the bondage that sin has caused. All creation eagerly awaits for the healing and glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, not only will the children of God be delivered from the slavery of the rotting putrefaction of sin, but everything created will be delivered. Thank God, we will be set free. The whole creation will be set free from the slavery of bondage. Not only will I be set free from this body of sin, but the whole creation is to be set free. Well, do you know him today as your Savior? Have you asked him to come into your heart? You need to be set free right now. You need to be set free knowing there's something about knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. And one day we'll be totally set free from sin as a Christian, but today you as a person who's never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can be set free, knowing in your mind and your heart that you're on your way to heaven. Well, there's something about knowing Jesus Christ, that moment that takes place, the joy of the Lord in your heart, knowing that you have trusted him as your Savior and you're on your way to heaven. Ask him to come into your heart today. And the Lord wants to save you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, or in other words, the children of God.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.